On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Public education is the most significant aspect of American life, yet it is so severely underserved, underfunded, underappreciated, underrecognized, and constantly under stress to survive and thrive. Folks with a nickel, a dime, or a dollar strive to send their kids to private schools, left behind thousands of kids who have little hope but great opportunity. And I stress that, great opportunity. I know a significant number of Pittsburgh public school teachers. I have relatives who are Pittsburgh public school teachers. They're badasses. They're fantastic. They're amazing. They're ready to go. How do you inspire greatness in a system that suffers from so much negativity? The head cheerleader, the man who thrives in that environment, Dr. Walters, Pittsburgh Public Schools Superintendent. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great, Marty. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of the Voice of Pittsburgh.
It's quite a challenge you face in this environment. How do you inspire greatness in a time when you have so many pressures, sir?
Well, I'm going to go back to what you talked about the staff, the teachers, everyone, the teachers, the counselors, the social workers, the cafeteria staff, the custodians, the central office administration support staff. My hope is to honor, value, and respect them, because this is not easy work, creating an educated citizenry. And so it's so important that we start in that place first of honoring, valuing, and respecting them for the work that they do. To educate a child and to create every other profession is not a small feat. And so the more support we can have for them and to understand how critical this work is for more than students, but for our future of our city, state, and country is really something that we need to value as a complete unit.
It's paramount. You know, Doc, men like you spend your lives trying to make a difference. And I find out that if you lose them at the third grade, they're done. Third grade, sir? Is it that early, sir?
It is that early because the design of our system is before third grade, you're learning to read. At third grade is when you have to start reading to learn. And there's a difference. So when we talk about literacy, it's not just the opportunity to be able to read a book, but it's the comprehension, it's the understanding, it's the transfer. And so third grade is that marker where you begin to see not only have they achieved the foundational pieces, the phonemic awareness and all those things to learn to read, but then third grade is where you have to read to learn. And there's a huge difference. And so when that doesn't happen by third grade, then there is struggle. There's a lot of intervention needed. There's a lot of programming that has to happen to really build the capacity of that child when it doesn't happen by third grade.
I find it so frustrating and so difficult in inner cities with schools with absenteeism. In fact, it was so bad in Detroit, they started paying kids with perfect attendance 100 a week and improved the attendance. Your absenteeism is about 32%, and at some of the schools, 50% chronically absent, whereas in districts outside the city, like Upper St. Clair, 6%. How do you address that, sir? And why the vast disparity, sir?
Well, I think one of the things is that the definition has shifted over time. Before, chronic absenteeism was not a word that was used. What was used is, you know, you want to make sure that you're in school all the time. But at the same time, there is a mixed message that I want to acknowledge. So, yes, we understand from the research that if you miss more than 10% of the school year, you are chronically absent by definition. But at the same time, coming through the pandemic, we were telling families, if your child is sick, keep them at home. And so in a month, with 20 school days, if you miss more than 2 days, you are chronically absent, even though you may have been sick. And so those numbers tend to add up because the research does say when you miss school, you miss out. But at the same time, we are saying, you know, in large systems, if you are sick and not feeling well, please stay home so you're not infecting other students. So sort of this balance of how we have changed over time where, you know, if you wrote an excuse, you were fine. Chronic absenteeism looks at excused and unexcused absences as well. So it's not about whether you had the right note or doctor's excuse. If you were not there, you were considered chronically absent.
I love your passion. I love your compassion. I love your commitment. I really do. I find it amazing. Here's the battle I always face because I'm a talk host and people grab me. Marty, Pittsburgh spends $32,000 a year on a student. Upper St. Clair spends $16,000 and is eons ahead in test scores. Please explain to folks why, sir. Why that difference in spending and why it's necessary, sir.
Yeah, the spend dictates, you know, in urban spaces, there are significant differences in starting points. You know, we have some schools, some students that have never had early childhood education. We have students that have significant learning disabilities and needs. And so the needs are different. And when you have different needs, you have to invest in trying to address those needs, whether it be attendance, whether it be learning disabilities, whether it be general preparedness for schools, whether it be around access and opportunity. I mean, certainly we're a large system, and that is our work, to address those needs, however they arrive at our doorsteps. You know, they're our children. And so whatever needs they have, we must invest in trying to remedy those needs and support students and families for their outcomes. And so that's just our reality. But, you know, the spend is dictated by need, not by just, the want to spend. It's just that we have significant needs in the Pittsburgh Public Schools. And so those things cost, and that's what happens.
Completely agree with you. And I get annoyed. I just do. I mean, all I say is walk in your shoes one day and understand the difference in the dynamic between trying to teach in Mount Lebanon, where you have a 99% attendance and every kid has a mom and dad and their PhDs, versus in the city where you struggle to thrive because it's that much different. And no one wants to acknowledge that, do they, sir?
At times they don't. There are some who do, but there are times who dedicate, there's some who dedicate their lives to being naysayers, and I just invite them to come and be a part of the solution rather than being a problem identifier. Because, you know, babies do it by crying, dogs do it by barking, but problem solving is a real work. So I invite them to come on board and become a problem solver versus investing in problem identification.
I got to get very honest with you. Your folks are so good to us in terms of anytime we present a problem. I sent a note to one of your press folks, who's amazing, by the way, she's amazing, about rodents in a school. Immediately addressed it. Immediately fixed it. My point is, your people give a damn, don't they, sir?
Absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. They're responsive, they care deeply, and they act. It's not that we don't have problems, but once again, we work to solve those problems when they're identified. And so that is something I think is special and something that needs to be praised and acknowledged. So I appreciate you doing that, Marty.
Do you fear the direction that public schools in inner cities across America are going to, sir? Losing student population, losing funding, anyone with money sends to private schools. Do you fear the future of public schools in inner city settings, sir?
So I don't know if I have that fear, Marty. I know there's movement to do so. But the fact of the matter is, we still educate the majority of our population, public education. And that is the hope and the promise of this country. And regardless of what others think, that is the hope and dream of those who can't afford and get access to it. The dependency is on public education. So I don't ever see that going away. I see opportunities for improvement, opportunities for reinvestment, opportunities to support public education, because regardless of whatever systems are created, we will still continue to educate the masses, and the masses dictate direction of what this country must do and respond to.
You run to the tough questions. You run to the problems, and your people are no different. Ebony Pugh is a rock star, and you give a damn. And I respect and admire the fact that you folks come to this platform when you could just say, hell no, Marty's a pain in the ass. And I love it, sir. And anything we can ever help you with, please let us know.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you. And thank you for shouting out Ebony Pugh and all of the staff in the Pittsburgh Public Schools, because they are hardworking. And I won't repeat the words that you used, but you got the right sentiment. Thank you.
It's a hell of a job, ma'am, to educate in a system where a lot of these kids have no hope, and he gives them hope, and they really, really give a damn. And I will do anything to help to make it better there. I just believe that he's trying so damn hard.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Public schools, man, in cities, man. The worst school districts in America are in urban areas, in cities like Cleveland. It's all fact. I mean, Detroit, Philadelphia. I try to get to the root of it. And I think of my life story. When I was of age to go to a public high school, Peabody was the choice. And the kids in my neighborhood, Tommy Bellin and his sisters, and the Chapmans, and the Therilts, and Chucky Wall and his sister, they went to Peabody. And they would come home with stories about fights, drugs, gang attacks, fear, kids lashing out, breaking windows in school. This is Peabody High School, 1970s, late. 1970s, late. So here we are, more than 30 years later, and those schools, Peabody's gone, and that school district sucks. It's horrible. Chronic absenteeism. The average in Pittsburgh public schools is about 32%. For comparison, Upper St. Clair is 6%. Several Pittsburgh schools, Westinghouse, 50% absenteeism, 50% chronic absenteeism. It hasn't changed. It's worse. 700 point difference in test scores on the SATs between Mount Lebanon and Pittsburgh Public Schools. That's insurmountable. Some districts around the country trying bizarre approaches. Detroit, horrible absenteeism. Horrible. Over 60% chronically absent at several schools. Guess what they did? They took $14 million and said, let's pay the kids that show up every day $100 a week. In Chicago, they started paying moms to bring their kids to school, just to bring them to school. Urban school districts. Frightening poverty. Frightening disparities in parents in the household. Chronic absenteeism. Steep enrollment declines. I can't help you with a solution. I love Dr. Walters. I love his motivation, but I'm afraid for him. And the parents in those schools that really want to learn, and their kids that really want to learn. But in 10 schools, they can't get advanced math classes. Can't get them. And in some schools, the proficiency rate in reading and math is below 15%. Do we pay the kids to show up? Michelle, go ahead.
Hi, Marty. I graduated from Langley High School in 74. It was a city high school. And still to this day, when I tell people who went to high school, they give me the hairy eyeball.
Yep.
And I have to say, I had a great education, and I was well prepared for when I went to Pitt. They had an advanced program called the Scholars Program, and I guess it depended on your IQ and recommendations, but we were one class. We took every major class together, like English, math, science, and it was like a year ahead of advanced. But I will tell you, the whole school, it was even during the time of the race riots, we didn't have anything like that at Langley. I didn't even know they were going on except, seeing the TV.
But Michelle, you're a shining example that did well, but they're in bad, bad shape. How do you fix them?
Oh, I wouldn't send my kids now.
How do you fix them, dear? How?
You know what, Marty? I do not know that question. I do not know. You need somebody really strong, strong to get in there and take charge.
It's bad. And it's depressing because there are scholars in these schools. There are brilliant teachers and brilliant parents and brilliant leaders. When we get to a point where you're paying kids $100 a week in Detroit to show up for school, they're paying them. And by the way, folks, that was to get absenteeism, the chronic absenteeism, to 54%, because it was at 65%. It's that bad. This is the American tragedy. Not AI, not the economy, not the war, not gas prices. Public education. Millions of kids left wandering aimlessly to a system that they can't benefit from. Man, I'm sitting here looking at these crazy police reports from over the weekend where we had teens. You should see their birth dates and their faces, their baby faces. You want to take them and get them ice cream. A couple of these kids that tried to kill a couple cops by hitting them with their car they stole. Born in 2000, one and born in 2010. The other was born in 2013. They're kids. And then the vape shop kids were all 14 and 15. And then this chase could have killed a cop. And by the way, those same kids that are now professional criminals are dropouts from urban school districts. And this is a fallout from mothers and fathers that don't raise their kids and communities that let these kids run wild on the streets. So now they're not trying to be doctors or lawyers. They're going to end up in prison or die. Listen to this dramatic video from the weekend. Listen.
552, it's going to be a black Kia Optima.
Affirmative. Black Kia Optima, four-door black. Looking at PA registration, stolen black Kia Optima. Headed into zone 5.
3583.
Go ahead, Lieutenant.
Can we ascertain from Wilkinsburg if that driver is wanted for aggravated assault on a police officer so we can make a decision to pursue or not?
Positive on charges.
3580 to all zone 5 units. You copy that?
540, we copy. We're getting behind the vehicle now. Making a left onto Monticello Street. Going towards North Lang. Making a left onto Fletcher Way. We're going 20 miles an hour. Turning right onto North Lang. Going towards Upland Street. 20 miles an hour. No pedestrian, no vehicle traffic. Yeah, we'll be coming up to Lincoln. Going straight across Lincoln. Onto Rowan. 40 miles an hour. Zero traffic.
Crazy.
Roadway is clear, slightly wet. Where you're going to be turning on to, we're passing Odessa Place, I don't know. I think we're going on Lyric now, back towards Lincoln. We are 30 mile an hour, headed back towards Lincoln. Crossing Grapevine, We're going to be turning on Lincoln towards the Family Dollar, 35 miles an hour, passing Upland on Lincoln.
Wow.
Passing the Family Dollar, and I'm sorry, we're actually turning on Deary. Turning on Deary back towards Larimer Ave, 20 miles an hour. We have only one vehicle on Deary with us now. Other than that, vehicle's clear. We are traveling towards Larimer Bridge, about to pass Paulson. Speeds are 54 miles an hour.
They're teens. Teens.
We are turning on the Larimer Bridge now, going into Larimer, 23 miles an hour. Passing Joseph Street, passing Shetland Street on Larimer. Speeds are 39. Passing Venus Way, approaching Meadow Street. 540, that's a good spike. We are on Carver Street now, headed
crazy.
Passing Braden Way, passing Ashley Street,
Dodge Way. We're getting into custody now.
540,
good copy. Car stopped at Carver and Dodge Way, taking them into custody. 2300.
This is almost daily. This is the teen routine. And just as I started the show with, how the hell do we break this cycle of horrible public education? I got to ask my boy JK, 40 years in law enforcement, thousands of arrests, insane investigations. How the hell do we break this cycle of insane teen violence where they started off trying to run over three cops? JK.
Got to put in the work. You got to take it one case at a time. And you have to show some concern from the courts in enforcing these laws and these rules so that we don't have continuous repetitive offenses. I'd be kind of surprised if these guys are even lodged anywhere right now at the moment, if they're not already released.
Let me
their
ask,
parents.
Because you're probably right.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious.
Well, we know that they weren't released. We know they weren't released to two parents. Let's be blunt. 85% of the kids come from single parent homes. Go ahead.
So until they start taking these crimes seriously, they treat it as a slap on the wrist. Go home to mommy. Go to don't be a criminal class. But these are juvenile criminal career machine criminal machines.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, that's what they do. They have no other aspirations, you know, they don't they're not involved in other activities or community things. It's all about violence, the guns, stealing the cars, the gang life, the street life. School doesn't play a part. They don't want to go to school.
Hell no.
Yeah, they have no intention of going to school. A lot of these kids are actually illiterate. And that's a huge problem. But when you have a judicial system that just gives them a slap on the wrist, keeps sending them out the door, you're just going to continue with the repeat offenders. And Allegheny County juvenile judicial system, they're just waiting for these juvenile criminal machines. They're waiting for it to take its course. And they're either going to die or they're going to go in prison because they don't have a plan forward for them to help them. So they're just waiting for the inevitable because what skills do they have except trying to run down cops, stealing Kias, and shooting people? What skills do they have? Life skills, morals, ethics, attitudes.
I don't know. I don't know.
Everything they do, they have zero guidance.
It's absolutely an American tragedy, sir, is it not?
It's so heartbreaking just to continuously watch the never-ending cycle kicking the can down the road.
Yeah.
You're just waiting for these kids to die on the streets or go to prison for their entire life. They have no guidance and no direction. There is no family structure. There is no juvenile court structure. It's catch and release for the cops, and that's what they do.
They're now robbing vape shops. I guess vape shops are good for that. They busted a front window on one on Butler Street, stole the ATM. That was one vape shop robbery. There were three vape shop robberies this weekend. It's crazy how random this crime is and how all of it is teens. And all they do is become adult criminals, sir. Right?
Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing. It's not random. These guys, you know, I've sat in rooms listening to wires for hours listening to these guys talk. It's a whim. Like, hey, I'm bored. What do you want to do? I don't have any money. Hey, let's take a ride, Don. Let's go rob the store. Sure. And then we'll go get some pizza. And we'll go to play video games at night and we'll buy some drugs.
This is their structure. That's it. That's their business. That's it, sir. Morning to night.
That's it. They don't have anybody saying, hey, you need to get a job and build some structure in your life and, you know, work 9 to 5, get a paycheck, you know, understand stability and structure in a household. They have none of that. They're sitting around bored, nothing to do. Hey, let's go rob this guy.
No, that's true.
If we kill him, we can get into his wallet and stuff like that. And then we're going to go grab some pizza and we'll come back and we'll hang out all night.
No, it's true.
And that's exactly what they do. It's so repetitive and no one's stopping them. The courts don't stop them. Are these kids on? I'm dying to know.
I'm going to find out in the break. Thanks, brother. You're my man. It's become this redundant story I tell on the show, but it's not. It's a unique experience every time, but it's always teens. It's horrible. Teens, 15, 16. Man, crazy. The juvenile crime explosion, there have been some gurus who tried to figure it out. I have heard, for instance, in Philadelphia, 23,000 students never came back post-COVID, ever. Disappeared, all black students from the Philadelphia School District. I heard in Pittsburgh, about 1,000 kids never came back, never. Where are they at? Well, the theory is they're out in the streets. Specific rise in juvenile firearms involvement and severe violent acts. Dramatic rise in youth homicides. How about that? During and after the pandemic. Disrupted guardrails. Extended school closures. Community lockouts stripped away the normal safety nets, mental health supports, daily routines. How about that? Loss of connection, reduced institutional touch points. Experts note that younger teens are increasingly driven by online social clout. Boom! Boom! Where they are driven by digital notoriety, where violent and reckless acts are filmed, shared, and rewarded. However you want to look at this, Jimbo, you're sitting there waiting for them to finish up what they started with, the stolen cars and stolen guns in juveniles. And we're pushing a year now, aren't we, sir? It's so...
We're up to 8 months now.
Wow.
From all the career criminal juvenile machines, the repeat offenders,
wow,
who accumulatively robbed over 12 gun stores,
wow,
$800,000 accumulated,
wow,
damage, dozens, not a dozen, dozens of stolen Kias, amongst all the other incidents that they're involved with and the other crimes, because they're averaging, you know, 14, 15, 18 prior criminal felony, you know, arrests.
Where are they?
Right now, they're incarcerated. Some of them are in a placement or in housing. They're being held. But the trial's not going nowhere. So they're supposed to be deemed incompetent, or they were deemed incompetent to stand trial by Judge Sizemore. So that put a giant roadblock. Nobody wanted to prosecute them. So the State Attorney General Dave Sunday has Deputy State Attorney General Decker on the case, and he brought forth to charge them as adults. So for 8 months, this case has been sitting down there, and it gets reviewed every couple weeks.
Wow.
It keeps getting reviewed every month, and they just send them back, kicking the can down the road. Nobody's deeming anybody for anything. It's just stagnant. It's been sitting there for 8 months, not making a decision.
Hey, Patrick, you kind of agree with that premise, though, that they do a lot of this for cred, and they do it on video, sir, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. It comes up in there. Snapchat yep. feeds. Yep. We see fights, you know, that are staged downtown all yep. the time. These kids yep. that are either supposed to be in school or after school from the charter schools downtown, they show up and beat the crap out of each other at the parks or at Market Square. We've seen this time and time again.
And Patrick, I also believe in what happened pre-COVID and post, they did lose a lot of guardrails, a lot of them.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question they did.
And here we are. Jimbo, thanks, my man. You're the best.
Yes, sir.
It's a vicious circle that has no end.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.